Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we are a privileged people, Lord, to assemble in thy name in this house which you have allowed us to build in honor of thee, and to come here with our hearts, Lord. We ask that you would discern our heart, and if there be any wickedness in us, O God, we pray that you would cleanse it by the washing of water by the word. Help us, Lord, to be tilled in our heart. Help us to be supple and soft. Help us, Lord, to be focused on going home. For we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name. Be with us, Lord, during this service. Help us, Lord, to have a better understanding of this hour and what is happening all around us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, it looks like yesterday the stock market rallied, but then today it unrallied or unraveled again. And I think we're having the ups and downs. And, you know, we were talking about this the other night, Brother Vales. And I said, Brother Vale, I said, I think what's happening right now, I said, I think it's going to go up and down, up and down. And I said, it's going to stabilize for a while, and people are going to get smart again, arrogant again, because it's the hardening process. And he kind of smiled when I said that, because that's a fact, that during the time of the Egyptian plagues, God gave them a plague. And then God, he allowed that plague to go away, and he allowed the, when the plague went away, he allowed there to be a period of time of settling back again. You see, then the people got hard again. Then he brought another plague, and he softened their hearts up again, melted them down again by his great furnace of affliction. Then he took the plague away. He allowed things to cool down, allowed the people to become hard again. And so finally, doing this enough times, he just broke the people. And that's exactly what he's going to do to this nation and all the nations of the world, because they've turned down God himself in this hour. And so we're looking at... this will be number 49 in our series, and this is the End Time Depression Judgment. This will be part two. We began last Wednesday. Then Sunday, we've been kind of Sundays, you know, looking at different things, and Wednesdays we're doing different things. But we're looking at the Depression Judgment on these Wednesdays, and on Sunday we've been looking at the God fulfilling his word. We looked at the shout a week ago Sunday. Last Sunday we looked at the voice, and this Sunday we'll be looking at the trump. But last week we spoke on the end time depression judgment that is to come upon the whole world. And tonight I'd like to continue with that message. So we're going to pick up from Jezebel Religion, where Brother Branham said, when God sends forth a message and he tells the people and they don't receive it, then he withdraws his servant and sends his plagues, famine, death, spiritually speaking, physically also. You watch for a depression, brother. You think that you've seen something. You just wait. After a while, you haven't seen nothing. You think you're dying for a good spiritual revival? You wait till after a bit. You just wait long and cry to hear the word of God. The Bible said so. There'll be a famine in the last days, said the prophet, and not for bread and water alone, but for hearing the true word of God. But that voice will be quiet in the wilderness somewhere, hid away. He ordained the ravens, his servants, blessed them birds, his servants, that kept the voice of Elijah alive during the time of his isolation from the church. Now notice, Brother Branham said, you watch for a depression, brother. You think that you've seen something. You just wait after a while. You haven't seen nothing. And before that, he says he sends his plagues, famine, death, spiritually speaking, physically also. Well, we've seen a spiritual famine in the land. I mean, there's very, very few people that are actually telling you what the prophet actually did say and sticking with what he said. So we know the famine physically is also here. It's hitting all around the world. We've gone over that before, but we're talking about a depression. People are depressed. People are depressed because they're not receiving the light of God. You look at people like in England as an example. You know, some of the northern countries, like in Norway, they say when they have you know, like 6 months of darkness, they said the people get very, very depressed. You see, we need light. We're children of the light. We have to have light. And when you're sitting in darkness, the people get very, very depressed. So he says it's coming, though, because the people rejected the voice of God. We then took this scripture to Daniel last week, and we laid out this scene as it was prophesied to take place in the end time. We read from Daniel chapter 9. We read from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and Daniel's chapters 11 and chapter 12. And I'd like to read now from Brother Branham from the book of Hebrews. He said, America doesn't want the gospel. You know that. We might just as well admit it. This Anglo-Saxon people is finished. That's all. There's no more gospel that America will receive. Oh, you get a few stragglers now and then, but just as the gospel is over, you can't even preach to them, can't talk to them. They won't believe nothing, see? They just got their own hard-headed ideas, and they're set. And the next thing for this nation is judgment. She's going to have it, too. It may be through depression. It may be through an atomic bomb. It may be through a great plague, a disease or something. But she's ready. It's coming, and thousand times thousands will fall. And from this day, the scripture is fulfilled. He said, we had a great nation, but she now is rottening and crumbling and shaking and giving way and trying to tax people to get money to send over yonder to buy friendship with our enemies. They're throwing it back in our faces. One world war, two world war, and still moving on to a third one. Certainly, politics is rotten, it's corrupted, it's rotten to the bottom. Now, we know that the USA is under a curse, as is the rest of the world. When Brother Branham threw that rock up into the air, he said, the judgments are now in the earth. That's Deuteronomy 28, the blessings and cursings, which we saw a week ago concerning the economy. It has to go that way. But did you ever stop to think one moment how it is that all the world's nations are now debtor nations? So who are they in debt to? That's the question. Well, the Bible says that the whore, she owns the wealth of the world. Well, if it's the wealth of the world, then she got it from the world. That's who she got it from. But we know that the Jew holds the paper, but the paper is worthless. It's becoming worthless. So who holds the gold? That's the key right there. And we know Rome holds the gold. And when Rome backs up that paper with her gold, she's going to own it all. From the message, oneness, Brother Branham said, the whole world's based on that. The whole economy of this nation is based upon false conception. It's a paper house of cards. How many have ever tried to stack cards to make them into a house? How many layers did you get? How high did you get? Two? Anybody get three or four? Tell you what happens when you are a little bit nervous when you're putting that card up? What does your nerves do to the rest of the cards? It knocks them all down. Well, that's what's happening. The people are nervous right now. And so the economy cannot last. From the supernatural, I said, brother and sister, our great America and our great economy that we have is rotting under the foundations. And someday, I see it in the making right now, she'll lay in the ruins. And from the first seal, he said, after the church is taken away, Rome and the Jews will make a covenant with one another. And I'm glad that it's after we're gone. The Bible said that they would with the holy people. Now notice, they'll make it because why? This nation's going to be busted. And the rest of the world that's on the gold standard is busted. You know that. And if we're living off tax bills due 40 years from now, where are we at? There's only one thing that can happen. That's to call in the currency and pay off the bonds. And we can't do it. Wall Street owns them, and Wall Street's controlled by the Jews, and the rest of it's in the Vatican, and the Jews has got the rest of it in Wall Street with the commerce of the world. We can't call it in. And if we could do it, do you think these whiskey guys and these tobacco people with billions times billions of dollars a year and write off their income tax for old vulgar pictures and things like that and go on into Arizona and buy millions of acres or thousands and dig them up, put in wells worth $50,000 and pay them off with income taxes? And they'd put you in jail if you don't pay your own. But they write it off and they throw up wells and send bulldozers in. And what do? They put housing projects in there. And the next thing turns around with their money they made. And they have got to make an investment and put house projects in there and sell them for millions of dollars. Do you think that them guys is going to compromise to change the currency? You see, the whole world's talking about the Amero. We're going to have the Amero. Even China right now is saying we need a one world currency. It's not going to happen. I don't believe it'll happen because we've got a prophet that said it won't. Like this Christian fellow down here, like this fellow down here, Castro did. He done the only smart thing he ever did do. When he destroyed the bonds, paid them off and destroyed them. Notice, but we can't do that. These guys won't let us. The rich merchants of the earth hold it. And then there's only one thing to do. The Catholic Church can pay it off. She's the only one that's got the money. She can do it and she will do it. And in doing this, to get it, she'll compromise with the Jews and make a covenant. And when she makes this covenant with the Jews, now remember, I'm taking this from the scripture. And now when she does this and makes this covenant, we notice in Daniel 8, 23 and 25, he will cause crafters prosper and crafters manufacturing in his hand. Now listen, the U.S. dollar backs about 70% of the world trade. 70%. So what good would it do to make another currency? The euro's fluttering. It's down to 133. It was up around 158 at one point. It's fluttering. It's falling. They were very boastful, you know. The Japanese, they thought, well, we have the yen. Until their yen started crumbling too. It's all falling apart. And he makes this covenant with the Jews in the midst of the 3.5 years. He breaks his covenant as soon as he gets the thing wrapped up and gets the money of the Jews tied up. And when he does that, oh my, he's called the Antichrist until the end of the church age, for he and his children are against Christ and the Word. This man's Antichrist. Now he's going to hold the money. And that's where I think that he'll come in. Just a minute while I say this. Then I want to go back into it in a minute. He's called the Antichrist and will be called the Antichrist in the sight of God until the end time. Now, but then he'll be called something else. Now, when he gets the money all under control, then he'll break this covenant with the Jews, as Daniel said he would do here in the midst of the last half of the week of Daniel 70 weeks. And then, brother, what will he do? He will have all the world trade and commerce a pact with the world, because he'll hold the wealth of the world completely. And during that time, them two prophets will rise on the scene and call the 144,000. Then what will take place? Then the mark of the beast of Revelation 13 will set in. Because he holds all the commerce, trade, and everything of the world. And what will take place then? The mark of the beast will come in, that no man can buy or sell except he that has the mark of the beast. Thank God the church will be enjoying a great 3.5 years in glory. Don't have to go through that. And then from paragraph 26 it says, you see, if Satan has a kingdom, he's got to have a false currency. He's got to have something that he can present to them to make them think that they're living. But it's absolutely, and the vice versa side, is death in the form of life. Now, what I see taking place here is that this nation is moving toward communism, socialism. Right now we have a president, Republican president, who's buying up the banks. He's already bought up the biggest insurance company and several of the greatest financial institutions in this country. Now they're going for the banks. You don't think that's not communist? Well, you're going to find out. It doesn't matter if they're Democrat or Republican. It's all headed the same way. From stature of a perfect man, this present government now is spending money for what? For tax money that they'll be collecting 40 years from now. She's done. That's the lifeline right here out of Washington, D.C., across the nation. Taxes. They're spending and trying to buy foreign. Why, they're just giving it out any way they can. Don't you see? That's exactly what they're going to do. See, what is it? Now, if this nation goes busted, the only thing it can do is go busted. The only thing that it can do is go bankrupt. That's the only sensible thing to do, change the currency. But they won't do it. Under this present administration, Roman Catholic owns the Church of the World. And what they'll do is to sell out. These rich men and so forth of the earth, as the Bible said, what they will do before they lose the Brown and Williamson tobacco companies, most all of them is Catholic anyway. You ever think about Kentucky, that great Catholic state? The number one cash crop is marijuana, which is illegal. Number two, I believe, is tobacco, which is sinful. Number three is whiskey, which is sinful. And what's number four? Horse racing. They can pride themselves on all those Catholic vices in which the priests partake of also. And of course, what's number five? Probably the payouts that they have to make to the Catholic Church for the Catholic Church doing in the little altar boys. Yeah, homosexuality and the payout going to the Catholic Church for it. The nation is sinful because of that influence. There's 62 million Catholics in this country today. And yeah, I'd say that most of those Catholics are better living than a lot of people I've met in this message. And that's a shame. Like Brother Branham said, it's not the people, it's the system. But you know what? It takes a people to turn their head and let the system work in order for the system to do its job. So Brother Branham continued, said, and they're getting enough policy, getting enough around them, bring it into this cabinet. Look what Mr. Kennedy's asking for. And when you see this the other day, there's no need of voting anymore. What's the use of voting? When they put it in the paper and proved it before the public and they refused to do anything about it, when they proved that the machine across the nation was set up, that they elected Mr. Kennedy by a false vote, don't the Bible say that he would come in by deceit, a falsehood? Now, I'm not against the Democratic Party, no more than a Republican Party, but I'm just stating facts from the Bible. What's the use of voting? They know who's going to get in there. What about Obama? He's not even a citizen. It's gone to federal court, and the nation's turning a blind eye to it. His own wife admits, she admitted to the API. I think that's the African Press International, something like that. Maybe Associated Press, but anyway, she admitted to them. She said, what are they giving my husband such a hard time just because he was adopted when he was a little boy? Adopted where? Indonesia, woman. It means one thing. That when he's adopted by law, he's no longer a citizen. If he comes back to become and declares himself, he's got to be naturalized. There's a difference between a naturalized and a natural-born citizen. A natural-born citizen can be president. A naturalized citizen, the Muslim man in California, cannot become president. And they know it, and they're not doing anything about it. What does it tell you about your vote? From the Philadelphia Church Age, only the very elect will not be fooled. The temptations will come as follows. The ecumenical move that has started on what seems such a beautiful and blessed principle of fulfilling Christ's prayer that we all might be one becomes so politically that she bears pressure upon the government to cause all to join her either directly or through adherence to principles enacted into law so that no people will be recognized as actual churches unless under direct or indirect domination of this council. Little groups will lose charters, privileges, etc., until they all lose their property and spiritual rights with the people. For example, right now, unless the local ministerial association approves, in many, if not most, cities, one cannot rent a building for religious services. To become chaplains in the armed service, hospitals, etc., it is now almost mandatory to be recognized as acceptable to the Trinitarian ecumenical groups. As his pressure increases, and it will be harder to resist, for to resist is to lose privilege. And so many will be tempted to go along, for they will feel it is better to serve God publicly in the framework of their organization than not to serve God at all publicly. But they err. To believe the devil's lie is to serve Satan, even though you may want to call him Jehovah. But the elect will not be deceived. Furthermore, the elect will not only be kept, but as this move becomes the image erected to the beast, the saints will be gone into the rapture. And this little delightful, winsome movement that starts out in fellowship at Ephesus will become the monster of Satan that defiles and deceives the whole world. For the church system of the Roman Catholic and Protestant is coming together, will control the whole wealth of the world system and force the whole earth into its religious trap, or will kill them by refusing them the privilege of buying and selling whereby they could make a living. This will be accomplished simply, for the harlot's daughters are all but gone back to her. In the meantime, Rome has acquired nearly all the supplies of gold. The Jews have the bonds and all the paper. At the right time, the harlot will destroy the present-day money system by calling in all the paper and demanding the gold. With no gold, the system falls. The Jews will be trapped and come into an alliance, and the harlot church will take over the whole world. She's doing it right in front of our faces every day. From falling apart of the world. You know, there's a law enacted that says you cannot go and visit Fort Knox to have a view of what's there. Even the president himself couldn't do it. From falling apart of the world. Now, anything that pulls you away from this is wrong. That's a false Messiah, a false anointing. Always said, brother, the brother has such anointing. What kind of anointing? That's it. Hitler had an anointing too. Khrushchev's got one also. Pope Pius has one also. What kind of anointing you got?
If it's not anointed with the word and vindicated every word to be truth, leave it alone. It's wrong. If it don't produce itself, then it isn't germatized. It'll show its colors. Oh, see, but that was for another age. Leave that thing alone. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yes, sir. So when this world falls apart, we are born into a kingdom that cannot fall. You believe the world is falling apart. Amen. He says, its systems are falling apart. Do you believe that? Do you believe the economical system's falling apart? The political system's falling apart? The national UN system's falling apart? The church is falling apart? The denominations are falling apart? Everything is falling apart. But we've got a kingdom that cannot be moved. It's an eternal kingdom of God. It cannot be moved. We are told that the new system of these denominations, of bringing this here, World Council of Churches, will bring peace to the earth. What a disregard. What a nasty slam in the face of Christ. What an irreverent, sacrilege thing that is. It's of the devil. A man can organize something better than God can send them. The Tower of Babel is another Babylon that must fall. Peace on earth, the false Messiah, and Antichrist in its teaching. How are you going to throw these denominations together when they can't even agree with one another now when they broke up in their little systems like that? But how about all joining together and getting over there? See, it's a false setup. It's all done to throw Protestantism into Romanism, a false Antichrist teaching. God's kingdom is not of this world. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. And from Christ is the mystery of God revealed. He said, you can have all the ecumenical moves you want to and all the affiliations, and they're going to bring a persecution on pretty soon and shut up all the churches. You see that? And the church like this, who's not in denominations, they'll use them for storehouses then. And if any man goes and offers a prayer for anybody else that don't belong to the ecumenical movement, it will be shot on the spot. It's already. That Lutheran minister, the head of it, said so. It's right here. You can read it right here in your magazines. And from Divine Healing, Brother Bram said, Acts 3:19-21, and he shall send Jesus, which was before preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the time of the restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets. Since the world began, 21st of the third chapter, all the restoration of all things, then there will be a new heaven, a new earth, a new government, a new economy, oh my, a new king, a new life, a new beginning with no ending, oh my, a new age, a new time, a new people. And from Christ is the mystery of God revealed, 2:59, he said, now listen closely. Fallen angels, what kind of angels? Luther, Wesley, Catholic, Pentecostal, who kept not their first estate like the angels did, and has fell into organizations like Lucifer's main hold at Nicaea. And what have they done? They've organized a great ecumenical association of ministers to make an image unto the beast, as the Bible said, and build a Christian economy that will close the doors of this church and others like it. See Lucifer at his work. I'm trying to bring to you the threefold revelation of the mystery of God. What did they do? They sold out to the reasonings of wisdom and education like Eve did. Fallen angels did. So when you read that scripture, it talks about fallen angels. He said that's Lutheran, Methodist, Presbyterian, Pentecostal, Baptist, Catholic. It's all of them. From questions and answers, he said, I think of St. Paul out there on the isle after the shipwreck. That serpent injected poison on his hand that would have killed him in a minute. The native said, watch this fellow fall dead, for he'll die in just a minute. He's in chains for preaching the gospel. Religious people put him in chains. The very finest of churches that day was what put him in chains. If it just wasn't the Constitution of the United States, they'd do the same thing today. That's right. Just wait till she's broke a little more. Till what's broke a little more? The Constitution. From Invasion of the USA, Brother Ram said, but let me tell you, Mr. Roosevelt, when Mr. Roosevelt, the man's dead, let him rest. I trust he is. Come in and run in 3 or 4 terms and taken over just a preliminary dictatorship. I can prove to you that by the scripture where that said that it would take place. That's right. We have got no more constitution. She's broke to pieces. Everything's all smattered. The Republicans is just as bad. It's 6 of 1, half a dozen of the other. For every kingdom is going to be smashed, but the kingdom of Jesus Christ shall stand and reign forever. That's right. Daniel saw the rock hewed out of the mountain and hit the political world back there and smashed it into grinding powder like that. Like the wheat on the thrashing floor in the summertime. But that rock grew into a great mountain that spread over and filled the whole heavens and the earth. That's it. And from Hear Ye Him, he said, they've never had a juvenile delinquency among the Mennonite people. They've never had any rock and roll teenage stuff among the Mennonite people. And if they can produce a crop like that without our modern education, God be with them is my prayer. I'd rather have a boy in something like that and not even know his ABCs. I'd rather he'd know Christ and be born again and not know the difference between split peas and coffee. Right. We need the old-fashioned gospel preached again in the power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. When our nation gets to the place that it robs us of our Constitution, it shows that communists has rottened it to the core. Exactly. First, we got this Patriot Act that took away the constitutional rights of its citizens. And now the government is buying up the banks. They're buying up the insurance companies, all in the guise of protecting us from ourselves. Brother Ryan predicted this nation would go communist, and here it is in all the papers. The word is interpreted by the manifestation thereof. Right? We're seeing the manifestation before us in every newspaper today. From questions and answers, Brother Ryan said, and now that church was taken up in the remnant of the woman's seed who keep the commandments of God and have faith in Jesus Christ's seed, not the bride, the remnant of the woman's seed. Then the dragon spurted water out of his mouth to make war with the remnant of the seed. That's when the Protestant church, under the Federation of Churches, which is the image of the beast, which is now being formed, and there'll be a boycott upon all the churches like this, like we're in a great tax gathering right now, a dispute trying to say that we're not a church. And we've got constitutional rights to say that we are a church. As long as the Constitution stands there, no amendment to that, then we absolutely have the rights, just as much as right as anybody. Our forefathers stood for that, but what have we done? We broke every constitutional law that can be broken. And soon the Federation of Churches, which all the churches and denominations are invited into, and the devil's got it all, and making worldliness and everything in the local church members and so forth like that, and great congregations and class and society, when the little old church is still down yonder, being born again in a mess like any birth is, still paying the price, still getting down and dying out, acting the same way that they did when they were first born again at the day of Pentecost, same kind of church down there. They'll be closed and shut down under the Federation of Churches. It'll be a boycott like a union or something. You'll either come in or you'll go out. It's really sad to see people falling away, but there's got to be a falling away. There's got to be. From the mark of the beast is on today, Brother Branham said, he said, the mark of the beast is on today, and the seal of God is the Holy Spirit. To reject it is the mark of the beast. Ever who sees the Holy Ghost, that you're supposed to receive it and don't do it, automatically you take the mark of the beast, because there's only two classes to exist. All that didn't have the seal of God had the mark of the beast. So to receive the seal of God is to receive the Holy Ghost. To reject it is to have the mark of the beast. There's the whole thing. That's exactly. So what about those people that reject the parousia? That is the Holy Ghost that came down. There's only two classes. They've accepted the mark of the beast. From the Comforter, Brother Branham said, we are all American. I think so in the church tonight. We're all American citizens. We're thankful to be American. But yet, what happened to our American heritage? What is it? We begin to compromise. And as soon as we compromise, we lost the sacredness of our heritage because we compromise. We run presidents four times. That breaks down the Constitution. And we do things today. And to this little parking meter that we have in the street, that's unconstitutional. There's no such a thing in the Constitution. It's against the Constitution, yet we do it. And we do all kinds of things that's against the principles of this nation was founded upon. We do everything contrary, so we lose our heritage. Because why? We compromised upon the principles that it was based upon. From the trumpet gives an uncertain sound. He said, we used to could put a lot of confidence in our democracy. And which I do think it's the best form of government. But still, our democracy is shaky. Because this nation, our people, we have a constitution, and this constitution is our ultimate. But yet in that, our constitution is shaky because it's already been broke many times. The late Mr. Roosevelt made havoc out of it. You see? You see, it can be broken. It's not much confidence you can put into it. Politics, oh my, how shaky. People just argue and argue and argue about politics, and neighbors will fall out about it, and people that were once good friends, some president will raise up, or somebody run for sheriff or something, the other fellow on the other side of the political fence, and they'll fuss with one another until they fall out about it. Politics. And I hope I don't hurt your feelings, but I think the whole thing's rotten. Yes, sir. So why would you fuss and fall out about something that ain't no good anyhow? All right, it's just awful bad. And from the message, why? He said, I wonder tonight if Christ would come on the scene or over the nation today in drawing this nation to judgment, if that same question would have been asked. Why is it? Why is it that we're doing these things? Why are we fussing in the government? Whether we should read the Bible in public or why, if we're reading all this nonsense. Did not our forefathers set this constitution in order? Did not this nation be born under the principles of the Bible? Aren't we here for freedom of religion, to act in God the way that we feel fit to act? The way that we are convinced is truth? But you see, we have done something like they did then. We're just letting everything, politics, swallow us up instead of respecting our faith in our God and men who have stood for the truth, and we're letting our politics run over that and voting in such stuff that's polluting this nation. And why? We are coming to a judgment. God will rise on the scene someday with a mighty prophet speaking to this generation and tell the people, and they'll see that it's God speaking, but they won't repent. It'll be just like it was then. He said, is there no more God in Israel? Is it because there is no God? Same as Jeremiah. He said, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? They could not answer that. Of course there was. Well, he said, why did you do it? Why is the daughter of my people not healed? Now we wonder that tonight. Why is there no Bible? Is there no God? Is there no difference? If God is going to bring the people to judgment, he has got to have something to judge them by. There's got to be some standard. If he's going to judge them by the Catholic Church, then if they judge them by the Roman Church, the Greek Church is lost. The other Catholic churches are lost. If he judged by the Greek, the Roman's lost. If he judged by the Lutheran, the Methodist's lost. If he judged by the Methodist, the Lutheran's lost. He can't judge it by the church. There's too many different organizations of it. But God will judge the world, he said, by Jesus Christ. And Jesus is the Word. And the Word is God. And will judge, and he'll judge them by this Bible, for this is the Word. That is God's standard. We must measure up to that Bible, what the Bible says. And we wonder why we've got so much confusion, so many organizations, so much differences, separating brotherhood and everything. It's because there is no balm in Gilead. It's because there's no physician there. I wonder if God would ask us that question. And from the third Exodus, he said, and Mr. Kennedy nationalized the Guard. And he sent these men right back into the face of their own fathers, standing there under the Constitution. That broke the Constitution right there. Said, we'll not fight, no sir. He said, and I hope the nation can find out that we're not living anymore under a democracy, but under military dictatorship. That broke the Posse Comitatus Act, which forbids the U.S. government to use military against its own civilians. Kennedy, a Democrat, did it. Clinton, a Democrat, did it. Bush, a Republican, did it. It doesn't matter anymore. They're all guilty of breaking our own laws. From recognizing your day in this message, if the churches would only recognize the Word of God that's made this promise for this day, for the hour of people, they wouldn't perish. If America could only recognize the Constitution that she drawed up, she wouldn't be willing to take Bibles out of the schools, take the name of God off our coins, and pledge allegiance under God. But she doesn't recognize it. Why? She's blind and naked. There's your name off the coins, you see. We read that the other day. They've taken the names off the coins. Put them on the edge so you can't see it. She can't recognize the blood of those precious boys that's died in the field for this privilege. They've forgotten. They're dust. Man in the sixth senses has just come along with horse and buggy, trusting God. In the last 75 years, he quit trusting God. When they signed the Constitution of this United States, they put God in everything they did. Now they don't even have a meeting, and they never even name his name. That's right. They depend on their loftiness of their science, their cunningness of their science. A lewd bunch. That's exactly. You know, they even forbid you in the schools now to have a, you know, when you have a prayer, you know, like a commencement prayer, you can't use the name Jesus. They told Christina, you can't use the name Jesus. She did it anyway. What are they going to do to her? Throw her in jail? So when she had the commencement, she prayed in the name of Jesus Christ. God will bless her. He has blessed her for that. The whole church world has turned from God. But just think, right out in the midst of all that, and the church denominations and all their seminary lewdness and everything, God has took his prophet's word and he chopped out a bride. He said he would do it. He hewed from that what he promised that he'd do. They depend on their human intelligence, their human science, and so forth. They left God out, whom he once trusted. The United States has left God out. They even turned him out of the school. For our little children can't even hear about him. They turned him out of school, and yet what they're doing today, Just the other day, a school teacher in California brought her second grade kids, 6-7 years old, to her wedding with another lesbian. And that was a lesson in tolerance. They ought to take the woman out and hang her. Hang her! Subjecting those children to pornography like that. The woman should be hung. Stoned. Like they did in the Old Testament days. But Brother Branham said the problem is, he said we got so many adulterers and fornicators. He said that if they did like they did in the Bible and stoned them, he said there wouldn't be enough people to bury them all. And that's the truth. Now they're turning him off the dollars. In God we trust. They're going to turn it out of the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. They already did it. One nation under God. They've already done it. They've already taken it out. They're going to turn that out. See? They went to their own feelings and their own senses, because in the last 75 years, he hasn't changed a bit of his senses. He's still the same God, created him in the beginning. But in the last days, can't you realize where we are at? And the church has turned from God to that, to the seminary experience, so forth, instead of the Word. They don't recognize him in their meetings, in their schools, or nothing anymore. Israel in the past 25 years has recognized something has brought them to the homeland, as was promised. They don't know how it was ever done. They suffered like everyone, martyrdom under the trumpets, but they're in their homeland. And they don't know why. From what hearest thou? Brother Bram said, and we wonder sometimes, when we preached and prayed and fasted and cried, and then seeing the results of the revival, then to see the wicked cities just turn their back and make fun of it. Newspapers blasted as fanaticism. Don't think it's strange because it's happened all through the ages. Go away and say some great vulgar name about it, or call them some kind of name that they should not be called. Just something to make light of the works of God. So the reason I say this, that men and women who believe God and have seen the working of God, and we wonder why Chicago don't have a revival. That's the answer. Chicago will never have a revival. America will never have a revival until God sends it. And he shook this nation with signs and wonders and miracles, and they constantly walk away from it. And the same motive that Jezebel had. I'd cut their heads off. I'd close their churches if they could do it. We still have constitutional rights. Laws keep these doors open now with our Constitution. But we're getting to the point where what good is the Constitution anymore? They rip it up every time they get together. The best thing that could happen to this nation is to close Congress down, period. Don't let them vote for any more money things, because all they're doing is patting each other's wallets. From questions and answers, Brother Anderson, now the church was taken up in the remnant of the woman's seed who keeps the commandments of God and have faith in Jesus Christ. See, not the bride, the remnant of the woman's seed. Then the dragon spurts water out of his mouth to make war with the remnant of the seed. That's when the Protestant church, under the Federation of Churches, which is the image of the beast, which is now being formed, there'll be a boycott upon all churches like this. Like we're in a great tax gathering right now here at Dispute, trying to say that we're not a church and we got constitutional rights that says we are a church. The mark of the beast is on today. And the seal of God is the Holy Ghost. Which one are you going for? In Romans, Paul said, chapter 7, know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know not the law, how that the law hath dominion over man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, and that doesn't mean married like they have some type of a marriage ceremony. It means she sleeps with another man. She shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from the law, so that there is no adultery, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. So Paul is telling us that the law that governs the marriage contract is the same law which governs God and his people. For Paul said, for the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as she liveth. So then if while her husband liveth she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. Therefore, if she be called an adulteress, there is also a law that deals with the punishment of an adulterous woman. And since America married itself to Christ through a covenant called the Declaration of Independence, she is obligated to fulfill her marriage vow. Since she has left her vow, the Declaration of Independence, she must be called an adulterous nation and be punished with the same punishment that the adulterous woman is punished with. And what is that? Stoning. And she will be stoned. One of these days will be gone, but this nation will receive her punishment. Wherefore, my brethren, you are also become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should be bring forth fruit unto God. And so our forefathers expressed their desire for this nation to be divorced from the King of England and his form of government, and to come under the rulership and governance and authority of God's word. From the Declaration of Independence, written July 4th, 1776, it says, "When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to be dissolved, to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth a separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitles them, a decent respect in the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the covenant of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its power in such form as to them shall seem most likely to effect their safety and happiness." Now this tells us that we, the people of the United States, had declared a separation and divorce from the King of England and his form of rule, and had subjected ourselves to God and his authority. Then we find in doing so that a covenant would need to be written for the governing of the people by the people. And we entered into a republican form of government under a covenant we call the Constitution of the United States. And in this covenant we established that these unalienable rights, which were God-given, would also be the major focus and priority of our Constitution, binding our people together. Amendment number one says, "Congress shall make no law respecting or an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right of the people to peaceably to assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances." Amendment 2, "A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed." Yet they do it every day. You can't go to a major city today where they, you know, on the East Coast or Left Coast, where they don't take your guns away. Unconstitutional, yet they allow them to do it. Now let's first begin our look into God's Word to see what God thinks of adultery. When he gave the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, the sixth commandment he gave to man was, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." Now, I do not think it's strange that this was the sixth commandment, since six is the number of man. He was created on the sixth day. And man is now ending the 6,000 years of his existence here on the earth, in which we know that 1,000 years to man is but a day to God. Therefore, he was created on the sixth day, also had 6 days to live out his time here, and it is then fitting that the destruction of man will come at the end of the sixth day. In Leviticus 20, verse 10, God said, "And the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress, shall surely be put to death." That's God's law. What's man's law? Probably over half, I wouldn't doubt that over 50%, if not more, maybe 70% of our congressmen are adulterers. Therefore, we see by the word of God that death is a punishment for adultery. Proverbs 6:32, "But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul." Therefore, there must be first a spiritual death take place, where a person loses any understanding that they might have had. Proverbs 30:20, "Such is the way of an adulterous woman. She eateth wife with her mouth and saith, I have done no wickedness." Ezekiel 16:32, "But as a wife that committeth adultery, which taketh strangers instead of her husband." Revelation 2 and 22. "Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds."
Well, it's coming.
Therefore we see tribulation and death are her punishment. 2 Peter 2 and 14. Having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, these are cursed children. Therefore the curse is upon them. Mark 8:38, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him shall also the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with his angels. James 4:4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. And from confirmation and evidence, Brother Branham said, now let me tell you, friends, that God of Moses, who would take them in the ark, could take them away from them walls. And if God by instinct in a bird could call it from danger, how much more ought it to call human beings who are inspired by the Holy Ghost? What an evil thing. What an adulterous generation. What an evil place that we're living in. What a sinful, ungodly nation that we have. God forsaken, God hating. Sign seeking. Bandwagon riders. Impersonators. Carnal comparisons. Led up with a bunch of nothing, coming to the end of the road. I speak that in the name of the Lord. Once more I'll call, it's up to you to answer. And from presence of God and recognize, he said, like in the days of Jesus, same thing. Watch and stand here now. He said, as it was in the days of Jonas, in Jonah. For as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, so must the Son of Man be. He said, a wicked adulterous generation will seek after a sign. Now you know what I think he was doing? He was prophesying. A wicked and adulterous generation. I wonder if any man in his right mind could deny that we're not living in a weak and an adulterous generation, when homosexual perversions, the divorce rate in America is higher than any other nation in the world, and the whole world's gone into chaos. 3 out of every 4 nearly is divorced, around taking the whole thing around in 10 years of marriage. See, think of it: divorce, marry again, and marry again, and marry again, divorce, marry again, divorce. They were eating, drinking, marrying wives, and giving in marriage. Look at the hour that we're living. When was it ever in such chaos? From Believest Thou This, he said, God always makes a preparation for things. Don't you believe that? I want you to listen close. I believe today with all my heart. Now, this is just Brother Branham speaking. You see, I believe that the things that you see are taking place now is preparation. God is preparing something just before a climax. God always warns us. He always warns the world, and then if they won't listen, if they won't receive a warning, then there's only one thing left, and that's judgment. Noah warned the world, and they wouldn't receive it. And all through the age, God has warned. He sends his mercy, and then if they spurn their mercy, his mercy, there's nothing else left but judgment. But the merciful Father will send mercy first, and he has. He's given us a message. It's going to save you. Turn those tapes on every day. It's going to save you. As long as you're under the spray of blood that's around the world, you have a right for mercy. God's, the blood of Christ keeps God from killing you. Or he'd kill you just as soon as you sinned. But that's still holding God from you, from your death. But by your free moral agent now. But when you die and your spirit goes beyond that, then you're ready. You're already judged. You don't have to wait for your judgment. You're judged already. God done that. The day you eat thereof, that's the day you die. That settles it. Notice he said, God doesn't judge you, you judge yourself. And how do we do that? By reaping what we sow. And what does that have to do with the end time depression judgment? It has all to do with it. If we examine the book of the two laws, Deuteronomy, we shall see the law of blessing and cursing. In this book, especially chapter 28, we see that if we pay attention to and obey the word of God, his law, we shall be blessed so much that the blessings will come upon us and it'll overtake you. It'll overtake you. The blessings will overtake you. I know. It's happening to me. I've seen it with Brother Vail. The blessings overtake you. You don't know what to do with it all. It just keeps coming and coming and coming. You're blessed, you're blessed, you're blessed. It's like in a race where you're not aware of what's coming upon you from behind. But all of a sudden it overtakes you. Because it's coming at a greater speed than you're running at. It's already surpassing you. It's already taking over the race. From Deuteronomy 28 and verse 1, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee upon on high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon thee and shall overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. But what if you don't hearken to the voice of the Lord your God? Then what? then the opposite will take place. Deuteronomy 28:15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Now if you'll observe closely to what God is telling them in the book of Deuteronomy, saying that what is a blessing becomes a curse upon you, depending on your response to the word. Look at 28:13. Blessed shalt thou be in the city. Blessed shalt thou be in the field. 28:16. Cursed shalt thou be in the city. Cursed shalt thou be in the field. 28:4. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy womb, the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thine kind, the flocks of thy sheep. 28:18. Cursed shall be thy fruit of thy body, the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kind, the flocks of thy sheep. Deuteronomy 28:5. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. 28:17. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. 28:6. Blessed shall be thou be when thou comest in, when thou goest out. 28:19. Cursed shall thou be when thou comest in. Cursed shall thou be when thou goest out. 28:7. The Lord shall cause all thy enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. There shall come against thee one way and flee against thee many ways. Flee from thee many ways. 28:8. The Lord shall command his blessings upon thee in thy storehouse and in all that thou settest thine hand to, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall bless thee and holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee. If thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways, then all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods and in the fruit of thy body, the fruit of thy cattle, the fruit of thy ground, and in the land which the Lord sware unto the fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven, to give rain unto thy land in his season, and bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above, and thou shalt not be beneath, if thou shalt hearken unto the commandment of the Lord thy God, which commandeth thee this day. What do they do? This nation has become a debtor nation. What nation isn't a debtor nation? Because they're all under a curse. Well, who are they in debt to? Come on. It's the rich men of the world. Nations in debt to men. Go figure. Now compare the blessings of health and good economics to the cursings which deal with poor health and poor economy. It is one thing for God to bless you with good health. He can say your health will be good, but when he curses you, your health will be poor. He gets very specific and names the different plagues and diseases that will come under the curse. And we don't have time to get into that. So Brother Brown says, from the message respects, he said, let's take Noah for a moment. Now Noah had a revelation from God, yet it was contrary to everything that science could prove to be true. But yet he had spoke to God, and God had spoke to him, and he went about preparing an ark with the scoffers and mockers, as the Bible said they would be in the last days, like they was in them days. That those scoffers scoffed at Noah. Why? They thought that he was out of his head, because he was building an ark. So, but God brought judgment upon them scoffers because they would not listen to the messenger of God and come into the ark under his preaching. Then God sent his divine judgment on the earth. First he made a preparation for all who would receive it, to escape it. And then if they did not escape it, there's only one thing left. If they won't take God's preparation of escape, then there's only one thing left, and that's divine judgment. Look, the only thing you've got going for you, young people, is this message. You think you got a good job? It can go just like that. Turn your eyes away from this message. Watch what happens to your life. The message why? When God makes a way of escape for the people and the people refuse that escape, then God asks the question, why? I think he has a right to ask it. If God does all that he can for the people and the people refuse to receive his help, then he has a right to ask why they didn't do it. I believe it'll be that way at the judgment. When God has made every preparation that could be made for the church and for the people, and then they refuse it, God's going to ask us why we didn't receive it. I believe that. And from looking unto Jesus, Brother Ram said, we find out here there was another man looked by the name of Noah. He looked and saw the just judgment of God upon the wicked world, denying generation was being poured out. In his vision, as Noah was a prophet, God had given him a vision of how to build the ark and instructed him how to make the construction, how it must be built. In this, how could Noah, unless this vision being the word of God, when he seen this wrath and making a way of preparation? Always before coming judgment, there's a preparation made. It's always is the word of God. And in closing, Brother Bram said from Hebrews chapter 3, America doesn't want the gospel. You know that. We just as well might as well admit it. The Anglo-Saxon people is finished.
Well, that explains why we're having such great success in Africa and South America. He says the Anglo-Saxon people is finished. That's all. There's no more gospel that America will receive. Oh, you get a few stragglings now and then, but just as the gospel, it's over. And you can't even preach to them, can't talk to them. They won't believe nothing. See? They just got their own hard-headed ideas and they're set. And the next things for this nation is judgments. She's going to have it too. It may be through depression. It may be through atomic bomb. It may be through a great plague or disease or something. But she's ready. It's coming. And thousand times thousands will fall. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the safety net which you've given us, the ability, Father, or you've given us your mercy, Father. You've shown us your mercy with this message. Help us to receive it, Father. Help us to receive every jot, every tittle. And help us to be ready, Father, for the body change and to meet the saints, Lord, which will be raised up one of these days soon. For we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen, amen, and amen.